Well, this is the third sermon in our Eastertide series called Embracing Our Own Resurrection. And the title for today is Choosing to Belong. Choosing to Belong. So please pray with me. God of wisdom, may my words be faithful to the written word, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring us all closer to the living word, Christ Jesus, in his name. Well, this sermon series emphasizes the resurrection is not just a moment in history that has some relevance to us at some point at the end of the age. The resurrection is a reality that also happens in us, around us, and through us, right now in this life. Eternal life is not just about the life that starts after the grave. It starts now. Embracing your own resurrection means fully embracing this abundant life that God offers us through Christ today. Now, how does this text help us to do that? Well, just a little bit of context to this scripture. First, the Feast of Dedication is also known as Hanukkah, or the Feast of Lights. It's an eight-day festival that celebrates the rededication of the temple after its desecration by the Syrian invasion, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, he's the person who sacrificed a pig in the temple and forced the priest to consume the meat in 168 BC. This led to the Maccabean Revolt, which we talked about on Palm Sunday. The festival thus occurs in winter, so this is winter time now. In Israel, that's the rainy season, and Jesus is walking under a covered walkway on the eastern side of the Temple Mount, and the older parts of the temple were often remembered as Solomon's parts of the temple, hence the name Solomon's Portico. And then one other thing to bear in mind, when John uses the term Jews, he doesn't mean Jewish people, he means the Jewish leaders, the religious elites of the time. So what is going on then in this text? Well, we see disbelief and estrangement. Disbelief and estrangement. It's winter, it's likely raining, it's probably cold, it can get down to the 40s. Now, I know that's not very cold from where you guys are from, but believe me, that's cold here. The wintry weather reflects the reception that Jesus encounters as he walks under the covered walkway in the temple complex. A delegation of Jewish leaders surround him and they make their demands. How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Well, Jesus has been teaching, healing, exercising, I should say exorcising, probably been exercising too, feeding and forgiving sins. His actions testify to who he is. I mean, what more could Jesus do? Maybe wear like a name badge or something. But the question from the Jewish leaders here suggests that they want Jesus to confirm it, to just tell them, to give them an answer that satisfies them, that they are the judges. Well, rather than respond straightforwardly as requested, Jesus says the following in verse 25. I have told you, and you do not believe, the works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. And so Jesus is basically saying, look, what I've done testifies to who I am, but you do not believe. Jesus continues, but you do not believe because you do not belong. You do not belong to my sheep. Well, this is a very cutting response. Jesus implies here that their lack of belief is not because there's a lack of proof, it's because of their lack of recognition. They are not open to hearing his voice. They're basically saying, show us some more signs that we won't believe. Jesus could not have done nor said anything that they would have accepted unless it fit in with what their idea would be, it fit in with their expectations and understanding. They see themselves not as sheep, but as the shepherds of Israel. They want certainty before they are willing to commit to anything that does not fit in with their worldview. They belong not to Jesus, but to something else. And ironically, In this case, they are supposed to belong to Jesus. They're the people of God, but they do not recognize the God that they supposedly belong to when he stood right in front of them. They belong only to their own distortion of God. This is their idol. This is their worldview. Perhaps the wintry season also reflects the spiritual season of the Old Testament coming to an end. Well, the words of our prayer of confession today really sum up how the failure to listen and belong to Jesus is still with us today in our time and our place. Let's look at those words again. Loving Shepherd, you call us by name, but we confess that we often fail to listen. We fail to listen too. You offer us safety and belonging, but we wander. We wander and we seek comfort elsewhere. You promise us that no one can snatch us from your hand, yet we live as though we are alone and unprotected. And then we said, the prayer says, forgive us the ways that we stray, for the times that we ignore your voice. And for the fear that prevents us from fully trusting in Christ. Well, clearly we're not so different than the Jewish leaders. We want certainty, not matters of faith. We want to control every last bit of our lives. Tell us plainly, we cry too. How many people today are willing to believe in God if they find the proof that they need? Well, that's hardly an issue of faith, is it? At the same time, while people may describe themselves as maybe seeking, how much time do they really invest in that endeavor? Like the leaders in the text, if they had weighed the evidence against Scripture and been willing to challenge their own assumptions, they may have been open to listening to the shepherd's voice, to believing, to belonging. In the same way, we want God to summarize it all in an 8-second soundbite. We want an executive summary, maybe a theology for dummies. And that's a lot better than about 5 books about this thick combined, systematic theology. But really, it's tell us what we need to do and what we'll get in return. There's no room for faith, no place for mystery, no place for a spiritual quest. When all the spiritual noise that we live among, we're still seeking, but still looking, unsure of who to trust and who to follow. We seek identity in the various labels that exist in our various tribal associations. We can even argue that Presbyterianism is one such label. But so many still lack a sense of being anchored or rooted in something meaningful. But we are still unwilling to let go of the familiar without the proof that we demand. We're not always willing to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. We listen only to our inner voice. And where will that lead us? Well, I remember when I was in the Presbyterian seminary for this particular ordination, there was a lady who was a literary professor on one of the courses I was on. And while we were studying the Old Testament, she would say, well, I don't accept that. I don't believe in this. I am not willing to accept that verse. And I was amazed, to be honest, because I came from a Presbyterian, a very, very conservative seminary before, that you can have this idea that you just decide what you want to accept or not. And I kind of jokingly said, why don't you just cross out all the stuff that you don't believe in to make it easy for you? And she said, well, that's a good idea. And I was being facetious, probably inappropriately. But what does that kind of thinking lead? What does it lead? Well, in the text, these very same people that confront Jesus today ended up killing him or having him killed. In our world, the same thing happens too. Atheism, the religion of humanism, has tried to do the same, tried to remove Christ from everything. Yet we've also, in the church, massively distorted Jesus on both ends of the church. The various competing political philosophies have co-opted the mission of Jesus to suit their own agendas. The bottom line is this: with a lack of belonging, you're willing to belong to anything. Well, turning our attention back to the text, there's also much grace here. Jesus gives his sheep eternal life. In verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. Well, Jesus does not offer the Jewish leaders a theological argument. He doesn't give them any more proof at all. He simply offers them a relationship. He extends an invitation. Listen to the words again. Jesus talking about his sheep. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. This relationship is a way of being, hearing Christ's voice, being known by him, following him, and receiving eternal life. That starts right now. Well, this is followed by one of the strongest promises in Scripture. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, in regard to what he has given me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. Well, Jesus' sheep are held securely, not just by the hand of Christ, but also in the security of God the Father's hand. A double grip, if you will. This is the assurance that we are given. This is the grace you find in this text. Well, Jesus does not shame the doubters. He does not argue with them or seek to convince them. Beyond all the signs he's already done, Jesus invites them to listen, to follow, to trust. Jesus invites them to belong, to become his sheep, to be given eternal life. Well, this grace still speaks in the world today. Jesus offers us a choice to belong. Jesus still speaks to us in the winter season of our lives, in the winter season of our culture, still speaks in our confusion, still calls our names. In all the noise and confusion of the world, you can still hear our shepherd's voice if you listen. In our culture, where everything now seems so fragile, institutions collapsing, you are still held. In a world full of counterfeit identities and hyphenated labels, Jesus says, you are mine. What else matters? What else matters? Well, why does this text resonate so deeply with us? Why does it evoke a sense of the familiar? Well, as we celebrate Mother's Day today, we are reminded how one way God's grace manifests in the world is through our mothers and those people who play a motherly role in our lives. It's through our mothers that we get a glimpse of the nature of the relationship and the belonging which Christ calls us into. Motherhood is thus a living parable of the tender, attentive relationship Jesus has with his people, with his sheep. Jesus says in verse 27 again, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. This resonates deeply with the mother-child relationship. From infancy, a child learns to recognize its mother's voice. It brings comfort, security, and identity. In a similar way, believers recognize Jesus' voice, the one who nurtures, protects, and calls them by name. Just as a mother's voice can help calm a crying child, Jesus' voice brings peace, purpose, and direction to his followers. Jesus says in verse 28, no one will snatch them out of my hand. This text evokes the image of a child being held safely in its mother's arms. The selfless, enduring care that many mothers give is a mirror of the security that we find in Christ. Jesus promises us that same unwavering security, one that surpasses all others and is never withdrawn. When speaking of his sheep, Jesus says, I know them. I know them. On Mother's Day, we honor mothers and mother figures who truly know us and yet love us anyway. Christ's intimate knowledge of us is even greater than the love of a mother who knows her child inside and out. Yet even when human love fails or falls short, Christ's love for us never does. Well, this then is what it means to embrace your own resurrection, choosing to belong, choosing to belong to Christ. It means living as one who is known and led by the shepherd. It means receiving life, not just after death, but now. It means living this life now. It means belonging to Christ. It means when we do not have clarity in the world, we have Christ. Again, what else matters? Christ is risen. You are free. Embrace your own resurrection. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, let me just close the sermon with a prayer for Mother's Day. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks today for the gift of mothers, for those who have nurtured us, who have held us close and taught us to listen for love. We remember with gratitude the voices that first called us by name, and we give thanks, like a good shepherd, Christ still calls to each of us, knowing us, holding us, never letting us go. On this day, we give thanks for all who have mothered others in faith, biological mothers, adoptive mothers, stepmothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, aunts, teachers, mentors, and friends. May their example remind us of your voice, O Lord, gentle, firm, and faithful. Remember to those for whom this day is tender, those who grieve a mother or a child, those who long for what has not been, those whose relationships are marked by pain or absence. Hold them, Good Shepherd, in your tender care. Let none be snatched from your hand. In all things we give you praise, for your love is steadfast and your grace knows no end. Keep us listening for your voice and following in your way. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.